We're live. It's Fairfield County Live and Local. We're presented by the Sono Collection. My name is John Kamal from 95.9 The Fox. And I've got No Mind Round 2. What's up, dudes?
What's going on?
Hello.
We are joined by the mad scientist himself, Isaac Young. We've got Trevor. We've got Cody. So, dudes, it's been, almost 6 months since the last time I talked to you guys.
Yeah, something like that. Sounds about right.
It was
right.
Like at the advent of the end of the world.
Right around our album, right? Yeah, I think that was
right before the album came out. Yeah.
It was beginning
of like a blink. Yeah. Seems like a blink, man.
Yeah, dude. Exactly. Speaking of which, the album out right now. For those of you who don't know about No Mind, Bright Signs for Dark Times. It's available on all streaming platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, all that good stuff. Check it out. How have you guys been? That's a very vague, terrible question, but I feel like it needs to be asked.
And Cody, go.
we've been staying busy practicing. Luckily, I mean, we none of us really see too many people outside of the band to begin with, so we're really kind of lucky in that regard. My job does a bunch of testing. Isaac works from home mostly doing his teaching. Yep. Trevor's the, you know, got to see people, and so does Rob, but I mean, for the most part, you know, we've been working in here
and so
we've been hunkered down, and I've got my, you know, the live room's right behind me. This is the mixing room I'm in right now, and we've kind of just been prepping everything and practicing and writing, and it's kind of our little dungeon for the winter, so to speak. It's a nice creative outlet area.
Yeah, man. Well, the reason we are gathered here this evening is because coming up on Thanksgiving Eve, you guys have a live stream that you're going to be doing. You know, for people who want to check it out, it's going to be on 11/25 Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve, this coming Wednesday at 8 p.m. When we last spoke, you guys were being a little coy about what ended up being. Did you guys record it or did you actually stream it? But it was like your first performance since the
PST show that we did, right? Is that what we're talking about?
No, it was a thing in somebody's lawn.
Oh, Cody, the thing.
My house. Yeah.
The private show that we did.
Now that it's over and done with, it was at my house. Now that I can say the location.
Right.
Yeah, we did a private show. I mean, it's cool to get that opportunity, but obviously now with the weather getting colder, we're finding new avenues because we're stuck, right? Like, no clubs are doing it for the safety of everybody, so why not turn to streaming as the newest, you know, avenue to show people what's up and, you know, give some sense of live music and normalcy to their lives.
Totally. Well, so my question is, you guys, the last time we had spoken had been locked down. We had all been locked down. It was May, I think. How was it coming together again as a band for the first time? Because a lot of bands out there, you know, have been separated. Some guys have, you know, houses, have jam houses. Zillowatt had one. Eggie's got one. But, you know, you guys are so spread out across the entire state. So even under the best of circumstances, it's hard for you all to come together. Can you describe what it felt like playing together again for the first time after the initial lockdown?
I mean, I guess I'll start. For me, man, playing with these guys has been nothing short of sanity saving. And especially, I mean, sure. I was thinking about it earlier today because I was like, man, what am I even gonna say? Like, if this guy asked me anything today, and I was like, yo, what do you say during a time like this when all this is going on and we're talking about our band and playing online, you know?
Right.
But the reality is, you know, I know I can speak for these two guys in the sense that, you know, it's not just about playing shows and making money and making cool sounds. It's definitely more than that. You know, we're writing something from the heart. We're working on our craft. For me, particularly this streaming thing is like a whole different ball game that's making me focus more on the preciseness of what I'm doing. You know, it's like every time we get in that room, the headphones are on, and number one, I don't like wearing these things because I hear everything that I'm doing, you know, and when I have that guitar and I'm singing, it's like I'm really hearing everything I'm doing. And these guys know this is new to me. So it's been a whole growth for me in that sense, and really, really rewarding. So,
Well, you know what? I mean, let's talk about that a little bit more, because I'm a pretty low tech guy when it came to playing music. I think like you, Trevor, you know what I mean? Like, I played what I played, and when I was in the studio, I was in the studio, but it always kind of freaked me out. It always threw me for a bit of a loop. Now, I mean, you know, Isaac and Cody, you guys are obviously, you know, just more techie guys. Oh, Isaac, yeah. You've got a ton of experience in that. Cody, you're an engineer.
The fearsome twosome. The two
so you so you so you know all about that world. But Trevor, yeah. Describe that a little bit more. Like, what's it like going from someone who's just used to a very organic musical experience to suddenly being in this very controlled, very fishbowl-esque environment that is either a live stream or just, you know, having to do things virtually?
So the fishbowl part isn't foreign to me. I spent, like, you know, a lot of years in a fishbowl writing music. Sure. So, you know, and I think a lot of us musicians have, right? So that it's not that. It's, you know, the juxtaposition of accepting the fact that, you know, we're broadcasting online, something that to me, I always loved doing live right in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Right. You know,
yeah, no, for 100%.
So it's not, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, it's weird. It's a paradox to me inside. It's like, okay, this is the way we got to do it. It helps you grow in some ways, but it's like, you know, I don't prefer it. I'd rather be in the room with the people. So
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
It's not a substitute. It's just, it's a solution right
now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Band-Aid.
Good line. It's not a substitute. It's a solution. I love that.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of those things though, but this is a new medium that it's exciting to explore. Like, we've collectively learned a lot of these skills, like learning how to set up video streaming software and encoding and getting HDMI readers. And it seems like it's just a lot of little steps with a lot of little, yeah, a lot of little details of like making sure that we take our time. And it's like things I didn't know going into this, right? Like learning how to live stream, learning how to make everything like that happen. And it's like, it's foreign in that way because we're bridging the gap between our creative selves and then our pragmatic selves, where we're saying, all right, we have this art form, and usually it's just we get to stand on a piece of plywood and just play, right? Like, it's the stage. That's it. Like, yeah, we show up and play. But now we're in control of every element, right? We're curating this really cool experience. Like, it's really freeing that we have complete autonomy, so we can like give the most incredible possible example of like a musical moment that we get to share with people in like space and time and the internet, right? That we don't necessarily get live, but there's also like that disconnect sometimes with the physical energy in a room with like people in your face or even like respectfully distanced, right? Depending on what it is, there's sure. that give and take that a screen doesn't give you. So it's a cool practice in like playing to a camera with the same intent, the same energy, the same like communication with this audience that's there, but they're not there. And it's like, it's a cool practice and evolving as a player, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely interesting. I mean, like, you know, luckily this is all kind of set up in my house. You know, I you know, the luxury of being a sound engineer is I've had half this equipment sitting around forever. We've just never really used it in this kind of a format and layout. So it's definitely been kind of a learning experience. You know, I've been handling obviously all the audio side, and then Isaac's been hunting down answers to, you know, all the streaming network stuff. And then, you know, it's finding the right angles in the room. And then, you know, you get one little gremlin in the system and all of a sudden the camera goes down and you're trying to backtrack and figure out why. You know, you got 40 different cables running through the room, couple hundred feet of HDMI. You know, I got 20 channels of mics going through and getting everything to kind of mash together and talk. It like sometimes it just, you know, feels like you're spitting in the wind, and you know, it doesn't always work together, but eventually we've kind of sorted it all out. And they're definitely right. It's not a preferred thing, you know, doing this, but at the same time, having the skill to do this and the ability to pull it off is kind of a neat thing. You know, like it's at this point, it's a plug and play system, and we're really lucky to have that here, except for, you know, Matt's lights that we put in this week. We're really, really lucky to have the setup we have, because if we feel so inclined to stream, to put music out, to want to just do something for fun, it's walking upstairs in my house and flipping a couple switches now. And that's it, turning on a couple cameras, flipping a few switches, and this is all done. The templates are there, everything's finished, and it's great to have that ability, in especially given, you know, the circumstances everyone's facing right now, to at least be able to express ourselves to an outside audience in some type of way.
Yeah. Well, and it's and for people who are just tuning in, you know, this Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, 11:25 at 8 p.m. No Mind, who I'm talking to right now, is going to be doing a Thanksgiving Eve party. It's going to be fully live streamed. If you've never seen and just I mean, you know, and I'm talking to you guys about your own technology, but if you've never seen a stream done right, you got to check out the way that you guys do it, because there's multiple camera angles. You know, Cody, like you were just saying, you've got 40 different cables going a bunch of different places. How many individual channels do you have running at the same time?
Let's see. I have, just audio wise, we are up to 21 channels of audio. Jeez. for the four of us. We have now five GoPros, so that's five power cables for the GoPros, five HDMI runs, five HDMI card readers, two USB hubs going into the other room to split those all off to break them back in. And then those have to be run, you know, 30 feet across the hallway back to the computer by USB cables. Then I have three monitors in this room. I have the one I'm with you on right now. I have a side one here that does OBS. This one in front of me handles Facebook. And then I have a third monitor that's sitting on the floor on the other side of me here that mirrors this one. So our lighting guy can in real time see the room and do the lights, but be in this separate room, because there's not a ton of room in that other one now with all the cabling and everything.
So you're in the control room now. You're not even in the room proper. No, there's a separate control room.
Yeah, it's about 15 feet behind me. Yep. That's the live room. This is where I do all the albums and stuff. This is where I do all of our mixed releases. It's where I did the PX3 album, the soon-to-be-released RMAD album.
Yep.
This is the control hub for everything. This is where all the mixing gets done, all my audio side. The other side is just a live room for us.
So for people who are musicians, or for people who aren't musicians and just curious, tell me what it's like to do a live stream like this, because, you know, obviously you're playing and you're playing lives in quotations, but, and I think Isaac or Trevor, you guys brought it up earlier, when you play live, it's weirdly a little bit forgiving because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people. Those people are partying and having a good time. Definitely. If you make a mistake, nobody's going to notice. The other guys in the band are going to notice. They might give you a little shit for it. But like, other than that, no one's going to realize. In this setting, it's completely different. You're playing live, but everything is monitored. Everything is being looked at, and nobody's there. Nobody's in the room. So it's oddly, you know, people talk about stage fright. People talk about, you know, like not wanting to be in front of a crowd. What you're doing with the live stream seems more nerve-wracking to me. So I guess after that big, long exposition, my question is, what feels more nerve-wracking? Can you describe the nerves of doing a live stream as compared to the nerves of doing a live show?
What is it for you, Isaac? Yeah.
So it really depends. I mean, it's definitely like the live stream. There's something like you get that great, like butterflies in your stomach and like that rush of adrenaline. And it's something I always tell my students. I was like, if you're not scared, you're not passionate.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Like, yeah, that's a great way to put it.
You should. Yeah. You should I've been performing for God, like 20 years, just about, been professional. So like, I still get butterflies in my stomach before I walk on stage, whether it's to 2 people or 2,000 people. But there's something completely different about the live stream mentality, because there's that, it's the like the blinking red light syndrome, right? It's like when you're in a recording session, you could play that song 40 times before that you see that red light blinking, and all of a sudden it's like boom, it's like something snaps in your head, right? And it's this completely different psychology of playing, because we can't read an audience, right? We there's comments, but there's also a 15 second latency between what they're seeing and what they're typing to what we then see. So it's not like I can look in eyes, like you can read an audience instantly. You hit one note and the whole energy in the room changes, and you can absolutely we're there together, or like, all right, we need to like find a way to all get there. Right. The room vibes with you or doesn't. Right. And like, it's hard when it's just screen. And then of course, especially if you like play something really good, you know, there's always that nice satisfaction of like the acknowledgement that you did something well, like applause or just like a head nod. Just like silence, and it's just like it's like it takes you back to your early gigs where like you just like you're 15 years old, you're pouring your heart out, and you're like, I played the best solo of my life, and it's just crickets, and you hear that one guy like yelling to his girlfriend in the back of the bar like that, right? Yeah, I don't know, that might happen
at 25 or 33.
Yeah, too, yeah, right? I really think the paradigm of it, though, too, on the other hand, I still get nervous about it. I still get the butterflies as well. And part of it is what Isaac's talking about. Another part of it is praying to God that nothing goes wrong, that all the cables talk to each other, camera doesn't go down in the middle of this.
That's a good side issue to bring up, actually, too, because Cody, you're running this, as we said earlier, you're running this out of your house. This is your gear. This is what you do. Sorry to interrupt, but I love that point. Keep talking about that added fear of technology just failing.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's always the risk of something going on, you know, a dead mic cable, like even a show, even when you're not dealing with this, just the audio side of things, a dead mic cable, everyone's had a bad DI box, something gets real noisy because the power goes to shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always dealing with something like that. It's an inevitability that always occurs, but now you're adding in the computer. Now you're adding in the amount of RAM you've got to use, how many cameras you're processing, all the angles, every cable that's got to attach to everything. The more stuff you add in, the more points of failure there are. It's an inevitability. It's diminishing returns at this point. You know, you can get all the camera angles. Sure. We can keep adding cameras all day long. We could put 10 in, but then that's 10 more things to go wrong. You know? So it's been a big juggling act trying to get everything right. What I was saying before, though, was I think the paradigm to it is, though, too, to what Isaac was saying, is the fact that, yes, there's a downside of not having a crowd reaction, for sure, and, like, that's what I'd much rather be doing, but there also is something really interesting about being able to be in a room with a very high-fidelity sound and being able to really kind of listen, because you don't get that ability on stages, and it's very revealing as a performer, because we all have our own independent mixes. Everything over here, see all these faders moving? There's mine, Isaac's, Trevor's, Rob's. Everyone can hear exactly what they want. And with that happening, it's very revealing. There's no bleed like there is on stage, where Trevor's monitor bleeds over to mine and Isaac's bleeds over to mine. So you're getting a little bit of everybody. Here, it's very much what you want to hear is what you're going to get. If you want more of yourself, we turn you up. And it forces you to be a little more critical, but I think in a good way. It makes you notice the notes you're playing that are wrong. You know, if Isaac goes into a jam and I'm hitting, I'm hitting a minor that just doesn't, that clashes or something, it's something you might not notice on stage with all the wash, but here it's very apparent. But it's a good thing. I find it to be a great building factor to doing this. You know, it's one of the few small advantages, I think, of working in this kind of a format.
Well, so, and that brings up an interesting point, because I wanted to ask, has this experience, whether you want to call it just this experience of having to go through all this trouble just to play together, or, you know, just the wider quarantine issue, has this affected your playing together as a band? Has this affected your relationship as a band, morale, or even just the quality, the quality of the music? How has that evolved since this all started happening?
I say all for the pods. Yeah, a million times better across every single front you just named. In like the best and most profound and beautiful way. Really, so then, like, it's so, like,
yeah,
this is the reason, this is our saving grace.
This is like the only reason that we are able to not like spiral into just like winding us into a corner and like sit in a dark room until this is all over. Right?
Wait, I am in a dark room.
You're in a purple. You're in a purple dark room, though. So it's there, like, you go. Good dark.
It's moody. It's a moody room.
It's a vibe, as the kids would say.
It's a vibe. That is a vibe.
But I mean, like, musically, though, Ben, I just like what Cody was saying. Like the fact that it's like basically in your system, except over your
more or less. Yeah.
Right. But like, so there's this attention to detail that we've been putting towards our playing in a way that usually is only reserved for a handful of times if we're being very critical before like a recording session or show. But now this is every time we're together, there's like this acute sense of what should and should not be placed musically, lyrically, emotionally, whatever there is in the music, right? And there was a lot more collective writing too, because we're meeting once a week, which is great. So like, now that it is set up, it's such an easy, like, we just show up and we just play.
Plug and play, like I was saying. Yeah, it's a turnkey operation over here now. We cleaned this whole place out after our show. We gutted the whole place. The guys and all of us cleaned the whole room. We laid all the cabling down for the audio, because we knew this is it. We're not playing again till it gets warm. We will not be, we'll be doing streams and stuff, but we've all basically agreed like that we're going to be here for the remainder of the winter into spring. Yeah. So everything got laid out professionally as nice as we could do it. You know, everyone got their own little neat like corner and nook, and you know, and then we set everything up for the long haul. So it's been nice to just literally walk in, turn on a few buttons, and you're good to go.
So tell me about writing. Like, what has how has that process evolved?
Trevor, talk about your new tune, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Just to go back to what we were talking about before, because for me right now, it's kind of going hand in hand with the musicianship aspect of it, like the theory, the you know. Because I used to just sit down and just like, okay, what, hit a note, find something that sounds good, whatever. But like, I am putting a little more thought because we're so rigorous at practices now, and I can't hide behind the mod, you know, everything bleeding together. Right. Like I used to do that a lot back in high school in those days. Well, that was a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was, but that was a long time ago. And so like, it's been so long that I've been rigorous with myself in that way that this is definitely like I'm sitting down to write something. I'm like, okay, well, what key am I in? I'm incorporating more thought into that. You know, I don't know. I can't say enough really how great the rehearsals and writing sessions together have been, because they've been influential to my songwriting. I didn't think I was going to write anything up until like 2 months ago. I don't know if I did write anything since maybe like last December, whatever. And then 2 months ago, I wrote like 5 songs, you know, in a month. And I know there's like a bunch more in there.
What do you think the X factor was there?
I mean, you know, man, it's, there's so much going on. And like, for me, I always like to try, it's, you know, if I feel like, I want to sit down and write something and then be able to put a pen to the page and write through it. It maybe go back and do a couple edits, but it's like it just flows out. You know, it's like I've processed things enough that I've got enough material inside to just like it's just gonna come out, you know. And I think for me anyway, everything was so crazy this year. This like, you know, how do you put a pen to that? So for me, I had to wait long enough, I guess. I don't know. I was also really busy, so I didn't really give myself time to practice.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And just life does get in the way. No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But Cody, great. What about you? I mean, like you're I mean, you know, well, you guys are all writers in this band. I can't even really point to a single person. But Cody, what about you? How has it affected your creative process?
Well, I'm really lucky in this house and the setup that I have, that there's pretty much a guitar hiding in just about every room of my house. Yeah. Much to my fiance's chagrin. She's huge fan. There's always an acoustic downstairs. I got two in here. There's like 5 in the live room. There's another one hiding in my bedroom. So they're all around. So it's nice that I usually always have something in my hands at some point during the day. It's not all day long, but usually I'll just mess around until I find something, or a lot of times it'll be more of a melody, like a lyrical melody. That's usually what starts a lot of it, or some kind of cool riff or something I'll stumble across. I probably had a couple months where I didn't write too much, but I've had like, I don't know, 4 or 5 lately in the last like month or two. About the same as Trevor. There's been some new ones coming along, and it just, you know, as to where it comes from, it's tough to say. I mean, there's never like one like igniting source, I think, for creativity. It's just, you know, the sun was nice this day. It was a beautiful day out. I was in the mood to touch a guitar, you know, what have you, you know.
Just an outsider's perspective, it sounds like the early fall was a common theme for the two of you guys, just in terms of writing. Just, I love fall.
Oh, so, yeah.
There you go.
That's my favorite time. Transitional period in the, you know, the outside world, and everything looks pretty. You know, I got to take a nice drive with Isaac up to Burlington, and you know, make the little adventure, and that was nice to get out and, you know, clear the air, because I haven't. That's the farthest I've been all year since this all went down. So
yes, I don't know about you, Cody, but like, and Isaac, but like, when, if I force myself to sit down and get in that frame of mind of like,
nothing gets done,
I'm gonna know. I mean, I don't know. I can come up with something. You know,
yeah, but it's like, I was, I, yeah, Trevor, I agree with you. Sometimes it's you the have opposite to make for yourself.
Me. But if like there's a, you know, you haven't given yourself time to enjoy something, or you're just like freaking out about everything, this and that, you know, for me, it gets in the way. It's like, you know, I have to be in the right space. And this was obvious for obvious reasons, particularly, I don't know, I've been working this whole time. And, you know, so in the beginning of the year, for obvious reasons, that was a little nerve wracking. And to process everything going on, like, and to try, okay, I'm going to go sit in a room and write a song for the band. It's like, it's not minuscule in the sense it's cathartic. It's giving something to myself and to others who choose to listen, but it just didn't seem like the right time, I guess. Whatever that means, you know, there is no right time, but
I could sit down when I schedule time. It's mostly for practicing, like doing things on the guitar, trying to get better. As far as structured songwriting time goes for me, and I don't know, you know, for Isaac, obviously I can't speak on that end, but I don't find it very conducive for just myself, for my creative output. Everything that I end up doing is usually kind of a spur of the moment thing. You know, I'll hum something into my recorder on my phone, you know, like on the voice memo thing. Right. And then I'll go back and try to figure those out. I'll find something in the middle of the day. Like most times when I'm sitting down trying to do something, it's usually practice, like guitar related theory or, you know, scale exercises, what have you. I don't do it so much for songwriting. I usually just something just usually hits me. And then I'm feel the need to go to my instrument and try to write whatever it is that, you know, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, it's interesting how the process is different for everybody, and just, and how this experience that we've had has affected it. But something you guys mentioned to me earlier, and it has to do with one of the songs that we're going to play tomorrow night. And for people who don't know, tomorrow night on 95.9 The Fox, if you're watching right now, you're going to be able to hear three songs from No Mind's last live stream. One of which is on their album, Bright Signs for Dark Times. Funky Man's the only one on the album, right? Pass Me By, right. It's not. Right. Yeah. Okay, yep.
Passed by you on a loop there. I was like, what
do
you mean?
But yeah, but so three songs we're going to be playing tomorrow night on 95.9 The Fox at 9 p.m. And it's Pass Me By, and it's Funky Man. And it's a song that at this point is just randomly called 11-11. Well, not randomly. I assume you played it on that date. But talk to me about, I love Funky Man, by the way. I'm so glad that you sent me that, because that's my favorite song by you guys. Phenomenal drum solo by Rob Madore on that one too. And Pass Me By is a killer tune. Tell me about 11-11 though, because Isaac, you've been on my show with Rob a couple of times. Rob, the drummer from No Mind, who isn't here tonight.
Yep.
And you guys have an improvisational project called PX3. Which has been featured on Live and Local a bunch of times. But that's kind of a thing that you two do. Tell me about 11-11, though, because this was an all improvised song.
Yeah, so we've been toying with these moments. I wouldn't even call them exercises, because it's not like, you know, there are a lot of improvisational exercises that I guess we could do, but it's sometimes fun just to dive into shark-infested waters and see if we survive. Yeah, right? I don't know. There's something like so thrilling about being able to work with the dynamic that we've fostered in the four of us, because we're all inside each other's language at this point. Like, we've been playing together long enough that we can kind of anticipate certain elements, either like in a communicative way, like literally like body language, or from like harmonic language, or from tension and rhythmic language. And we're able to kind of like all move as a unit in a way that it became apparent, like as we were starting to really hone in on this new evolution, the sound, kind of like at the end of spring, beginning of summer. So we started to toy with these ideas of like, just like, that's how we start rehearsal usually, is we don't even start with the songs. We just, one of us just starts an idea. It's just like, as people like shuffling into the room, one of us starts an idea and just the band kind of falls into it for like 20 minutes.
That's the way to do it, man.
And
yep.
Obviously sometimes it's, you know, you roll the dice, and sometimes you're like, yes, awesome, this is great. And it's been getting more and more to that where there is less stagnation musically, and like excited elements where everyone feels like they can take a role, and like we pass the leadership, like everyone gets to like drive the bus, right? And it's something that's so powerful that we feel that it's starting to really cultivate deep within our sound, as well as our, like, because it's almost like a different form of our songwriting, right? It's our different compositional mindset, just it's a spontaneous composition rather than something that's like prefabricated and polished. So I don't know. It's like, you know, same thing, PX3. It's an experience that you share. It's the principle of like the mandala, right? It's there and it's gone. That's it.
I meant to mention that when we were talking about, you know, us getting together. It's like, cause when there's plenty of times when we're jamming out and it's like, okay, you know, there's the moments where things drop down or whatever, and it's just Rob and Isaac. And it's like, okay, you know, you hear elements of like their albums and stuff. I mean, you can't listen to any of their stuff on those albums as a musician and not be like, okay, what's going on there? Like, they're doing some wild stuff. Like, I've listened to a lot of jazz. I've listened to a lot of classical, and they're doing some wild. My brain's like, bam. So that's what I mean. Like, they bring that in, and I'm challenged, man. I gotta really listen. You know, and I'm not perfect at that. So it's like I get trapped in my own world sometimes. If they've forced another level of the bar, which is fantastic. Those PX3s, the stuff.
I'm sick of
I'm glad you chimed in on that, because I wanted to ask really, Trevor, you and Cody, because I know obviously Isaac, you've got this long, you know, history, you and Rob, of just working together in an improvisational way, but you add two more people, that's two more. Honestly, Cody, like, to go back to what you were saying, you add two more elements that can go wrong, and you also just, you know, add, you know, two other musicians to the mix who may or may not be comfortable within that environment. I know I wouldn't be, you know what I mean? So Cody, what was that like for you?
Well, I've known Rob actually for a pretty long time.
Way longer than I have. Like, yeah, I've known Rob the least amount of time.
Yeah, I've known Rob for about a decade, give or take. Like, we've kind of known, we haven't been like great friends, but we've known each other. Rob played for like a show in one of my old bands back in the day. He filled in for us. And like, it's interesting, like, I have a very fortunate position comparatively to like Trevor, per se. I do all the engineering work on the PX3 stuff and all the RMAD stuff, and I do live sound for them all the time. So like, even if I can't necessarily keep up with Isaac's manic music playing, I very much can at least kind of expect where his head is going to go as he does it. Same thing with Rob. I know, like I'll be playing a solo with them and they'll be building, and I know Rob is notorious for not coming in on the one. He'll come in on the three and extend the bar line, so I know to keep my solo going until we hit the three, or else I'm gonna fall flat of Rob coming back in. It's things like that. Like, you just get used to it over time. But I have probably listened to the PX3 music more than Isaac has played it. Without a doubt. I have heard those albums front to back, every instrument isolated. I have done all the editing on Isaac's goddamn saxophone because he doesn't know how to gate it. But yeah, I've spent a lot of time just noodling around in Rob and Isaac's headspace in that regard. I've definitely kind of heard it all from every different angle you can inside of the compositional pieces that they do. And, you know, even if I can't keep up musically in some situations with them, like, just, you know, Isaac has a very broad scope of harmony work and reharmonization and the way he, you know, stacks chords in all this. At the very least, I know, like, if I can't get point C, you know, if I get point A and B and I don't get C, I know where we're going to end up on D. You know, that's okay. The thing. I might miss a small step, but that's a great time for Isaac to take the lead anyways. It's a great point for where Isaac and Rob can go do something. You know, I don't have to be out front. And then I know they're going to end up back here when they're done, whatever here is. I know where that's headed. So it's a lot of fun improvising with them, especially, you know, the more we play now, and especially in this environment here. It's definitely a lot cooler now that the sound quality is so good, and, you know, I hear exactly what I want to hear. It's a very fun, creative kind of thing to shoot stuff off each other. There's a lot of side eyes and grins going around the room most times when someone does something.
Being
slide.
In a circle too, like
it's so cool.
But like, that's a huge thing.
Everyone,
right?
facing each other.
Like, I mean, I can't speak for you guys because I've never been in position for like where the guitar stand. I've never been like. I mean, when I played only saxophone, I guess occasionally I'd be in the front, but like that was in like jazz. So you're like, you're fluid, you're moving around, but like never right. in like this, I've never been with my back to someone. I'm usually looking at someone's back. Right. And like trying to like catch the glances. So like when we, the fact that we're all in a circle, it's awesome. Like we don't have to work. It's like one little, oh, like this little look in the corner of your eye and everyone's like on the same page. Mm-hmm. Ideally.
Yep. 100%.
Well, if you want to hear, I mean, if you want to hear really well done improvisational music, make sure you're listening to 95.9 The Fox tomorrow at 9 p.m. because we're going to be playing three songs, one of which is completely improvised by No Mind. Before we get out of here, guys, tell me a little bit about this live stream. What can we expect, and what can we expect from No Mind going forward?
No idea.
There'll be some improv. There'll be some improv, some new songs, a couple new tunes that I haven't really seen the light of day so far. Some older stuff that we've been kind of working back on and reworking. Some choice cover tunes.
Yeah.
Or a very choice cover tune that's going to be very fun. But yeah. I think this, be the, surprises.
This will be the first, I would say, I mean, since our show at your house, like we're just that much more comfortable in that saying the improv and everything. I think this is going to be the first full show we're going to do where you're going to see us, really talking each other's language more.
Yeah, yeah. I agree for sure.
Yeah, we also have Matt Agresta doing incredible lights for us.
And Mike,
yeah.
And my boy Mike voice on sound.
Yeah, it's going to be. So we have our normal crew with us.
Our team.
So we're basically curating your Thanksgiving Eve to just be a hell of a party.
Come get drunk with us digitally.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We start at 8 and we go until our fingers stop working.
Yeah, there's no set end time.
I don't have to work for 4 days. Let's
right? Go. You know, it's like, dude, it's like, here. Let's all be thankful that we can share this with each other for a second and just like enjoy it because it's a beautiful thing, man. I'm glad that we just get to do it. And it's because, and also in lieu of our typical Black Friday gig. So, like, this is like our big.
Don't remind me.
Hey, but hey, this is like the.
It's like my favorite gig of the year.
That's our favorite gig of the year. We usually do a huge show, but like, this is our big thing, man. We're celebrating like this beautiful time of year, as beautiful as we can make it.
It's gonna be Mind. No Mind coming this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. The live stream is going to be on 11:25. You can go to @NoMindCT on Facebook. You're going to be able to see it there. Anywhere else we're going to be able to see it, or is it this is a Facebook thing?
Just on Facebook.
Yeah. Just Facebook. There'll be more moving forward. There. Yeah, the next few streams after that, we're probably going to do the YouTube thing, maybe look at Twitch,
yes.
see where we want to go. But for right now, yeah, just Facebook on this one.
@NoMindCT this Wednesday, the 25th at 8 p.m. until their fingers fall off. Dudes, it's always so great to talk to you guys. Thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah, pleasure being here.
Thanks for having us.
All right, fellas, stay on the line after I take us off live. But for people who are watching at home, remember tomorrow night on 95.9 The Fox, you can listen to three songs from No Mind. If you live in Fairfield County, Connecticut, you can go to 95.9 FM. Or if not, you can go to 959thefox.com and you can stream the entire thing right there from your laptop, your phone, whatever you want. Thank you for watching. No Mind, thank you for being here. I'm going to see you guys on Wednesday. It's going to be a good time.
Awesome.
Peace. Later.